The scripture today is 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uniformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thanks. Would you please join with me in prayer? Thank you, Lord. And we are grateful for your word. We pray, Lord, that in this time of gathering, that we would sense your presence more so, that we would simply be able to remember that you are at work in our hearts, our minds, in our souls, in our bodies. Thank you for loving us so completely. And it's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. There was a gentleman, and let's say he was from Pennsylvania, okay? Pennsylvania. And he was a hunter. And he went to, he went to Wisconsin, okay? I think there's hunting up there. Are there ducks in Wisconsin? There are some ducks. Anybody from Wisconsin? Okay. Ducks up there. And he was hunting, and he was on land that he was supposed to hunt on, and gave permission because, listen, Pennsylvania people, we always follow rules. We never stretch the truth or anything like that. So, now don't laugh at that. But he shot a duck. Okay. Well, he shot a duck, and the duck dropped on the other side of this fence. Place where he wasn't supposed to go, well, okay, I guess this guy wanted to stretch the rules a little bit. He climbed over the fence, and he had the duck in his hand, and all of a sudden, the Wisconsin farmer came out and said, "Hey, listen, that's my duck. That's my duck. It's on my side of the fence." The guy said, "No, I shot it. It's my duck." And he said, "Well, we're going to go ahead and settle this. We're going to settle this using the Wisconsin three-kick rule." Have you ever heard of the Wisconsin three-kick rule? No, never heard that? Good, I'm glad. Then I can tell you it. He put on his steel-toed boots, okay? And before the hunter from Pennsylvania knew what hit him, he kicked him in the shin. Well, that dropped him to his knees, okay? And he was hurting pretty much. Then he kicked him in the stomach and coughed out his hair. He fell down towards the ground. Then he kicked him in the side of the noggin. And luckily, us guys from Pennsylvania have hard heads, so it didn't kill him. It just hurt him. But my gosh, after that, the hunter from Pennsylvania kind of straightened himself up and got up, and he said, "Okay, now it's my turn." And the farmer from Wisconsin said, "No, that's okay. You can have the duck." So the moral of that story: never do the three-kick rule with anybody. The other thing is, watch what you're going to argue over, okay? Watch what you're going to fight over. In the church, it can be a place that defines what sin is. Oddly enough, the church can be a place that actually is the best illustration for what arguing is, what gossiping is, what infighting is. It can be. And I believe that's why some of the most resounding words of hope for the early church and some of the instructions that are most remembered and read and then reread are found in this particular book of the Bible that we're looking at this morning. We're looking at a particular passage from the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth. The church in Corinth was very much an illustration of what not to do as a church, how not to succeed in building God's kingdom. Very clearly, in fact. This church, while it may have started out spirit-filled, excited, energized, quickly succumbed to what they knew. And what they knew best was idol worship. What they knew best was worshiping the myriad of gods. What they knew best was trying to create some sort of pecking order to figure out who was better than the other person. The church at Corinth was a church that was in need of healing and was in need of being filled by God's Holy Spirit. What was interesting is that while they were in need of it, it was already happening. It was happening right under their nose. They simply weren't paying attention. How often in your life, and you don't have to raise your hand, how often in your life has God been at work? Has God been at work maybe even in a specifically asked and prayed for way, and you simply weren't paying attention because you didn't think either that God was listening or that he cared or that he could do much about whatever you needed to pray about? What's profound and humbling for me to have the privilege of sharing every Sunday is that we have a God who is at work in ways that we could never imagine, in ways that we thought were beyond God, if that's even something that we want to admit. But sometimes we think that. The creator of the universe, the creator of these phenomenal sunrises, sunsets, the creator of these gorgeous mountains, of all the colors that we see, the creator of all of that is also the creator of each of us. Even when we don't see ourselves as a beautiful creation of God, God continues to see us in that way. That's humbling, and yet it's true. God holds out promise for us, even when we don't keep our promises. And as God's church, which we all are, God has things in store for us, has wonderful things in store for us to be able to do. Things like the gathering that we had here last night, which was such a celebration of gifts, such a celebration of God at work in the lives of his people. As different particular ministries were mentioned and different individuals who participated, not everybody, but different individuals who participated stood up. I mean, not everybody who participated in that ministry was represented last night, but every group was at least represented. And people would stand up, and then people would applaud and celebrate how God was at work, and it was a wonderful thing to see. That's how God's church is called to work. Us standing and stepping forward when God moves in our lives, recognizing that God has already equipped us to take care of the problem or the issue or to address the need that is at hand. See, God doesn't send us in unequipped. God continues to work to give us what we need to do what he calls us to do in his world. That, my friends, is the message for today, but it was also the message in the early church as well. Now, there is the issue of tongues, of speaking in tongues, of interpreting tongues. And inevitably, whenever that is mentioned in Scripture, and then whenever it is studied or discussed in Bible studies, well, that comes up. That's all people think about. Tongues, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. What do you think, Pastor? Well, I personally have seen it. I've seen it. I don't have that spiritual gift, but I have seen it, and I have seen it done properly so that there was a person who was speaking in tongues, but there was also a person to interpret it there. You see, those things go on hand in hand, and that's why Paul mentions those things hand in hand to the early church. Because if it is simply a matter of someone speaking in tongues, this is what happens. In the early church, at the church at Corinth, there were those who said, well, I can do this, so I'm more spiritually evolved than you. I'm more spiritually adept than you. Look at me. Look at what I can do. And there were individuals that started talking about speaking in tongues as though that was a greater spiritual blessing. Paul is mentioning it simply because it was a problem in the early church. Paul was very specific in his letters to the churches, especially in the church to Corinth. There was a long list of things he had to address. And probably whenever he got news about that church, he would just go, oh boy, not again. But he didn't give up because he knew that with God, nothing was impossible. In that church, Paul reminded them that there were many spiritual gifts. Not just the gifts of tongues, the gifts of interpretation of tongues, and the other things that are mentioned here, but countless other gifts. There are other spiritual gifts that Paul mentions in letters to other churches. And there were reasons why he mentioned those to those churches. Those were gifts that needed to be recognized or developed or used there for a particular person, a particular purpose, I should say. What is God asking us to do here in his modern day church? I thank God, and I say that reverently, I thank God for all of you. Another passage that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, a church that wasn't as much of a headache. I can tell you as a pastor, there are churches out there that are headaches that you definitely don't want to be appointed to. Praise God, this is not one of them. That's just a little insider information. The joy, though, is that God's work here is not done either. Now, certainly, God's work in a troubled church like the church at Corinth was not done, and there were a lot of problems, a lot of things to be addressed. But what is God asking us to do? See, we must guard against ever becoming spiritually smug. Have you ever dealt with a person who was smug? Did they ever kind of have this look? They ever kind of lift up their nose at you, things like that? Yeah. We have to guard against becoming spiritually smug and thinking that we have arrived. Or just because good things are happening, or a lot of good things that are happening, well, my gosh, hey, we got it down now. Yeah, thanks, Lord. We'll call you when we need you again. No, we need to keep God front and center. We need to keep God at the center of all that we do as his church, at the center of worship, at the center of our meetings, at the center of our business, at the center of our mission, the center of our care, the center of each and everything, each and every component of our ministry that makes up our church here. We need to keep God front and center. As individuals, however, also, we need to keep God front and center. And how do we do that? Well, we keep humbled before God. We keep humbled before God, knowing that it is only because of what God does that we are able to do anything. We keep humbled before God also and focused on God because we realize that spiritual gifts only come from God. We can't say, well, geez, if I work hard enough at it, then I'm going to go ahead and develop the spiritual gift. It's like working on rock-hard abs. Well, I won't do that anymore because this is not a good illustration. That's why I'm glad we wear robes right now, especially after Christmas. But, you know, working on rock-hard abs or exercising or doing something like that. You know, if I work hard enough, if I do enough reps, then I'm going to get stronger. For us as Christians, a spiritual gift is just that. It's something that God has given us. Now, certainly, we can allow God to develop it more deeply in us by practices like reading the Bible, like prayer, like worship, like service, all of those different things, but it is still something that God has given us. And a statement that I'd like to make that I find is true in the body of Christ, not just this church, but in the body of Christ at large, is that each and every person here has a spiritual gift that they have yet to discover. I really believe that. Now, maybe it's been something that has been gnawing at you and God has been kind of showing you that you have that gift and you just haven't acknowledged it. Maybe it's something that's going to come out of the blue. How many times have I found myself with a brother or sister in Christ and they said, "Wow, I didn't know I could ever do that." And it's some particular thing in the church. It's a particular ministry. And it's exciting to be able to see that. And I just give them that big dorky grin that I have and say, "Yeah, God works that way. It's all about God." What is the gift that God is developing in you? What is the gift that God is going to be revealing? How is God speaking to you specifically today? It's wonderful to be in a place where we can celebrate that. And we don't have to worry about a bunch of conflicts tearing us apart, a bunch of negativity that's undermining the work of God, a bunch of hatred where people aren't even talking to each other. It's a wonderful blessing to be in a place that really is an incubator, a place where God's Holy Spirit grows. But we're not simply called to share it here, we're called to share it out there as well. What is God guiding you to share? What is God growing in you? How is God present in your life? The good news is that God is present in each and every life here, no matter what your age. Young, more mature. Didn't I handle that well? Someplace in between. God is at work. How he's speaking to you, how is he approaching you, how is he churning in you, how is he still in you, calling you to be still and know that he is God. I'd invite you in the next few moments as we hear some music playing, just to be still and to sense how God speaks to you. There are so many spiritual gifts, so many more than are even mentioned in this passage. What is God calling you to share out of your life to build his church, to build his kingdom?